In the name of the true and ever-living God, who redeem, bless, and sanctify us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my salvation. Would you pray with me, Father, be blessed and thank you for your brand new day and for the fresh opportunities and challenges that this day will bring. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and I pray that I will walk worthy of you today and be a faithful witness in thought, word, and deed, demonstrating a Christ-like attitude to all who I come in contact with, because it's your grace that I have come thus far. This is my prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be very comfortable and a blessed good morning, my St. Sebastian family, friends of St. Sebastian. It is always wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. I normally would finish my sermon by Thursday, but this gospel had so many ebbs and flows in it. It took me up to 5 o'clock Saturday morning to make it through. So I pray that it will make sense to you as I try to make sense of it. Because we are having three different behaviors going on at the same time. The master, the dishonest manager, and Jesus. And I chose this quote from the gospel, and his master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are children of the light. I kind of want to set the stage when we think of the rich man. Now, he had heard information about his manager, and without giving him a chance of defense, he made a conclusion to get rid of him. Because he said, I heard. He didn't say, well, I have proof. So he made a decision right away. But what he does is it seems like he's given him 2 weeks' time to leave. Funny, in this day and age, if they come to your office and you see the security coming with the manager, you know what they're going to do. They're going to walk you not out of your office, but right out the front door. You don't get a chance to, what they would say, stir up the company or do something that would be against the rules of the company. But here, the rich man has made his decision, but the dishonest manager now is, what can I do? He wasn't expecting to be fired, so he had taken the position that this is a job where I will be comfortable until maybe I retire. Something that sometimes we all in life gets comfortable believing that we are going to be here forever. Like I say to myself, I serve at the pleasure of the vestry and the people of St. Sebastian. Will I ever get comfortable? I may feel comfortable, but I will not get comfortable. Because when you do get comfortable, you lose focus on what your role is and what is expected of you. And I think this is exactly what happened to the dishonest manager. But he was quick on his feet, because he knew now that rather than being the guy who was out with the power of making people pay their bills, he was now falling back into the regular folk. So he decided, well, let me curry favor with them, saying I have to then go back in the community with them. So he starts cutting deals, and we all know how that is. But then the manager, the rich man, had already pretty much committed to fire him. But he thought this was shrewd of him to make this decision just to make sure he gets it out. You know, he didn't tell us here that the manager, the rich man, was going to give him a package. He just told him he was going to get rid of him. So he was creating his own package. His package was not a package of maybe a future or money or wealth. His package was just survival. What I call, he was looking for what I call, what Jesus was saying, a quick redemption. He made decisions to ensure his position after life. And I say that to you, my brothers and sisters, because sometimes we are going in one direction, and it seems to be a stumbling block. And it is so easy to continue to fight that block, but it's also quite challenging to just step back reassess and go forward. Because sometimes stepping back or maybe going back does not mean that you're going to be there forever. Because in God's life, he can take you back, what you would consider back for a short period. But he can then elevate you twice as fast as you were going before. But he needs you to be trusting and honest. The manager was dishonest. Yes, he was a cheat. But now he was protecting what he felt was the best for him. You know, I tend to believe that both the manager and the rich man, they were both pretty much in the same alike. You know, there are not many stories we see in the Bible where you're rooting for the bad guy. But you fall in the position here of a dishonest manager. Yes, he was dishonest, but before he left, he made a decision to curry favor. And this happens so much in life. And I was lately told of a story where there was this principal at a school, and she did many favors for many people in the country to bring their kids into this school. But now her kid had done the what I would call the 11 plus exam, but her kid didn't do well. And she knew right away that her son was not up to par to meet the standards of the exam. But rather than to allow the process to flow on, she used the phone and called favor to those who she had done favor for. And what happened now, her son is going to one of the best schools. But is she really doing him a justice? Because he's not deserving, so he's going to go into an environment that pretty much is going to be so challenging. And sometimes in our lives, we have to be careful on how we do such things, because we may be putting our children or the situation to fail. And you don't want to really do that. Sometimes it's good just to let the process go. That's why in this gospel this morning, I am so comfortable with the dishonest manager. I'm not saying he's a good or he's a bad person. But I was running this morning, as I tell you, my ideas always come up. How do I compare this dishonest manager? Can any of you remember the movie, the Clint Eastwood movie, Josie Wales? Can you remember the movie Josie Wales? Where Clint Eastwood was the bad guy and they were just looking for him to pretty much hang him. But during the process of all of his running and hiding, he struck up of a family who was traveling now to this new land. But they had no one to defend them. It was a mother and a daughter and a couple of helping hands. But Clint Eastwood spent time making sure he took care of this family, although of all the evil he had done. And you say to yourself, I'm rooting for Clint Eastwood, but yesterday he's a bad guy. He's deserving exactly what they're trying to reach for. And this is where we are stuck with the dishonest manager. But Jesus tries to put our radar into having sympathy. He's telling you that it is okay to be rich. Or it's okay, I don't like to use the word rich. It is okay to want the best for yourself. It's okay to work and save and have the best of everything. But be prudent. Don't go back like, remember the gospel a couple of weeks ago, when the man burned the feet, his crop came in better than he expected. He had excess. And rather than to share the excess, what he did, he built a bigger barn to put it in. And what I say to you, my brothers and sisters, you are deserving all you have because you have worked hard for it. But if you have excess, there is someone along the way that you can share with. And I look today and I had vestry meeting on Tuesday. And I looked at one of our brothers in the vestry, and you'll see it in your bulletin. He had a skill, and he started back flying more than he normally would. But he took the time out and forgot about work because he knew there were people in the world in the Bahamas needed help. And he flew 15 flights carrying stuff to these people who he knew had no chance. They had no hope. Their hope was pretty much shaken. But he became the disciple. I could pretty much bet when the plane landed, someone was taking a deep breath, someone is here to save us. One part of the story is funny, but if I share it in the pulpit, you can only laugh for 30 seconds. He flew a flight with 900 pounds of toilet paper. But you know how important that was.
Yes.
That to us, that is like water. You know, it is all, and what I'm saying, and I'm talking to you in the Jesus terms, that's what Jesus is looking for and asking of us. You know, we have called ourselves Christians, but it's what we do with our excess. Whether it's excess, if you have time, it is excess. Use your time to help someone. We are a community of building for Christ. St. Sebastian has shown more for the small group we are. We do more for our community than I have ever seen in any church I've ever been.
Amen.
And I would like you to just clap for yourselves this morning. Because I think that is it. Your staff, you may be small in size, but you're big in heart. And that's what God calls us all to be. And it says what? Punch above your weight. Well, St. Sebastian, you punch above your weight. Jesus says balance of our selflessness is being faithful and also for servitude. Our good is being very consistent in the position we hold. God will judge us accordingly and will look upon each one of us as we make decisions to build his kingdom. Whatever you use with your wealth to help others in time or just to give it help in hand, know that our earthly possessions are temporary, but our heavenly possessions are permanent. We serve a God and not a man or wealth. Bob Marley wrote this song, "Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds." In other words, we must stay strong in our beliefs of Jesus Christ and as our Savior. And Maya Angelou says, "We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it's gone through to achieve that beauty." We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admits the changes it's gone through to achieve that beauty. Things never remain the same, and so do we all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.